Title today is I Thought, and we're going to get our idea from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, starting in the 9th verse. And it says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper." So let's go back a little bit. Naaman is a high up in the army, but he's a leper. And leprosy, we don't see it around here. But if you look it up on the internet, it's a skin disease, and some of the pictures are pretty horrifying. Look like big old warts all over you, supposedly contagious. Now, at this point in time, most of the time, these lepers were put in leper colonies, so they was in isolation, and, I mean, they was just shunned. It's a bad deal. Well, they had captured a servant girl, and the servant girl told Naaman, says, "Back in my country, there's a prophet that can take this leprosy away. You know, if we have a dreaded disease, we go to a doctor, and we're going to get cured." Well, so here is Naaman. He takes changes of clothes. He takes gold and silver, and he goes on this journey, and he goes to see Elisha. You know, if we went to the doctor and we went to the receptionist, and the receptionist says, "Go out and dip in the river 7 times," we'd walk away in a rage too. We wouldn't be happy because we expect to see the doctor. We expect to get a prescription. We expect to have tests. We expect to do some things. But here was Naaman. He just sent a messenger, "Go dip in Jordan 7 times." So he went away unhappy. He didn't expect that. But one of his servants came to him and says, "You know, Master, if they'd asked you to do some great thing, then you would have done it." So when he dipped in Jordan 7 times, his flesh came to him clean like a baby. There wasn't nothing special about a muddy Jordan River. It was a miracle of God. So, I think we do this. I do it a lot. I think we ought to do this. I think this. And sometimes it don't go along with God's words. Let's look at a couple other ideas. Do you ever think about the apple at the Garden of Eden? You ever think about that? You ever heard about the Adam and Eve eating that apple? Well, look. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." Wasn't an apple. Might have been an apple. But we just take it for granted. It was an apple. Somebody thought, "I bet it's an apple." All right, what about 2x2 going into the ark? Genesis 7, 1 verse 1 through 3. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And at every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. And of the fowls of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth." 2x2 is correct for the unclean. But if you see paintings of the ark, usually there's pairs, right? So someone thought this is the way it ought to be. What about the three wise men at Christmas? In Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Maybe there was three. Maybe there's two. Maybe there was four. Someone thought there's three. So what I'm trying to bring out is this. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Sometimes we just take for granted what we're told through generations. Sometimes we just presume that it's okay. But we need to watch out from what we are taking for granted. And I've got some ideas that we'll run through quickly. How about I thought we ought to worship Allah, and I probably can't even say that right. The Muslim faith is the fastest growing faith in the world. And we could spend a lot of time on that, but we won't. You know, they think that they ought to go kill Christians. And they're going to meet Allah when they do that. I mean, that's what they think. I read one thing that Muslim men can have four wives. They see a child that's 1 year old. They can go barter with the parents. Then that child is going to be a wife at 9 years old. He takes him for a wife. And if that wife isn't happy there, he can beat her. If that wife goes home to the parents that sold her basically can kill her to make family honor. I mean, it's a weird deal. I mean, the Muslim thing is, and it's growing. We see the news nearly every week, and we have young people leaving the United States to go be Muslims. I mean, it's a bad deal. But let's read in Matthew 22 and 42, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. We could go through a lot of prophecies that Jesus was born of a virgin. He's the son of God. He is the lineage of David. That's what Jesus Christ is. Allah, I have no idea. Hebrews 5 and 9, And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Okay, Jesus is our author. And what's he the author of? He's the author of salvation. Okay, what does it take to be saved? What does it take for salvation? We're told to hear the word of God. We're told to believe. Hebrews, it says, He that believeth that I am he must be saved. And then we're told to repent. Luke 13 and 3. Says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you should all likewise be saved. We're told to confess. Matthew 10 and 32. Told to confess him before men, and he would confess us before his Father. Then we're told to be baptized. In Mark 16 to 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So he authored this, and this is what we're supposed to do. Allah, he wrote a Quran, or somebody did, and I don't know what it says. Don't want to know. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Those that do not obey this are going to be punished. Muslim guys think if they die killing Christians, they meet Allah immediately. So on 9/11, them guys in the plane flew into the Twin Towers, then into the Pentagon, and wherever else they went, they thought they was going to meet him immediately. Well, they burned up. They thought they was going to meet him. All I can say is surprise, surprise, surprise. They didn't meet him. Okay, next thought. We hear this so much. Years ago, I used to go into a vet clinic here in Wheeler, and this guy had a little sign up. Says, go to the church of your choice, but let's walk together. Let's think about that a little bit. In John 17 and verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believeth that thou hast sent me. He talks about one. And we'll carry this a little further in a little bit. Talks about one, not many, but one. Matthew 15 and 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now today is March the 15th. Used to, you needed to plant potatoes around St. Patrick's Day, right? And if you go plant your potatoes, you expect the potato to come up. And I guarantee you around here, eventually there's going to be weeds come up too, or grass or whatever. And you're going to go out and you're going to hoe up them weeds. You didn't plant weeds, you planted potatoes. So what our Heavenly Father has not planted, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be hoed up. In Matthew 16 and 18, it says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said he would build his church. He is the builder. In Acts 20 and 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. He purchased it. You know, I purchased the car. And I locked my keys in it, so I had to get Josh to drive it home for me when I got more keys and got him the code to get in. He drove it home, but it's still my car. I purchased it. He got to drive it, and I was appreciating him doing that. So he purchased the church, and he purchased it with blood. I didn't have to give blood to pay for that car. It might have felt like it the time you paid for it, but I didn't. You know, I paid dollars. So he purchased it with blood. I mean, that's the utmost sacrifice, as we well know. In Ephesians 5 and 23, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, Christ is the head. And he's the Savior. And then in Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such that should be saved. He adds. A lot of these religious organizations, I'm not sure. Maybe you're voted on to see if you're in it. But the Lord is the one that adds to the church. So when you think about all of this, we see right quick that he talks about one, he's the builder, he purchased it with the blood, he's the head, he's the Savior, he adds to it. It's incorrect to think that you can go to the church of your choice. You have to go to Christ's church. One more slide about this. Romans 16 and 16, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So, he gives us a name also. What's the confusion? We go to one church. Okay, another thought. I thought we'd just save by faith. Just say this prayer, accept Jesus in your life, it's a done deal. Someone thought that. That's not what the scriptures say. Hebrews 5 and 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. He's the author. He tells us what to do for salvation. And it does have faith in it. It does have belief. But that is not all. In James 2 and 17, starting there, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We must have works. Talks about one God. There's one head, one Savior, one church. We must have the authored plan of salvation. And faith is just not enough. You have to have works and obedience. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You got to do some things. And this is what it teaches us. We have to go through the whole plan. All right, here's another thought. What about once saved, always saved? You know, this would be sweet if that was it. But the scriptures does not teach that. Galatians 5 and 4 says, Christ is become of no effect in you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. It talks about falling from faith, falling from a saved condition. Then the next scripture we have is 2 Peter 2 and 22. But it's happening to them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. For 16 years, Beverd and I ran a hog farm. And I figured we washed approximately 3,000 to 4,000 sows in that amount of time. And we put them in this little wash area. We'd wash them, and then we'd go put them in a farrowing crate. Sometime, if we took too long doing that, that one might get out, and I guarantee you she's going to go wallow in the mud. She was not pretty anymore. She was a mess. We had to do it again. Another thing that made me think about this is not too long ago on a TV show, they have a scanner, and you can go and scan things, and it shows germs. So they was going into motels, they was going in, and doorknobs is just gross. I mean, you scan it, and yuck, it's bad. Serving instruments at cafeterias, and stuff. I mean, it just shows all this stuff. Now, once we have obeyed the plan of salvation, we're clean. But we go back into sin. We look that way too. When God looks at us, sometimes we look gross. I mean, it's just, yuck, look at all that sin in that guy. You can't see mine. But God can. He can see that. In James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He give us a way once we have went back into wallowing in the mire to pray one for another and have those sins forgiven. If he could make us, he knows what we're going to do. We're not perfect. We fall short. And we have to repent and pray. Here's another thought. Baptism is optional. This is taught throughout here a whole lot. In Ephesians 4 and 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're going one again. It's a common practice that you can accept Jesus as your life, name him as your personal Savior, and then later on, if you want to, as an outward show, you can be baptized. That is not taught. Here is what taught. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then you have salvation. That is what is taught. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Therefore, I'm going to be this bold. If you leave off baptized, you don't have salvation. You have damned. If you leave off one of these others, you don't have salvation. You have damned. If you have a formula to make water, which is H2O, and you leave off part of it, you don't have water. If you add another molecule of oxygen, you have hydrogen peroxide. Let's have a big cold drink of hydrogen peroxide. It's foamy. It don't quench your thirst. You don't have water. Acts 22 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Were you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Acts 22 and 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Did you call on the name of the Lord? Did you make a confession? Romans 6 and 3 start here. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, when a person is baptized, they go down in this water. It's compared to a grave. You go down into the water and you come up a new person. The sins are gone. This is not special water. It comes from the water tower in Wheeler. There's nothing special about it. It's a miracle of God. He can wash away sins by going through the death, burial, and resurrection. Just like Jesus, the sins are forgiven. Baptism must be done. It's essential. See the verse back here in the back? Galatians 3 and 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what it amounts to, putting it on. If you don't, I've heard people say, if you don't, you just got wet. All right, let's wrap everything up. I'm going to say as we conclude, don't think, listen. Listen. How many of you parents have you told your children, listen to me, listen. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is mankind supposed to do? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? In Matthew 7 and 21, it says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How many organizations out there feed the orphans, feed the poor, visit the sick, do a lot of good works? Maybe they even do more good works than we do. But they're out there professing to be Christians. If they haven't done these things, then the Lord's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me. And we sometimes, we just keep thinking, well, you know, God's a loving God. God's not going to do this. We're not supposed to think. We're supposed to listen. When I first started having hearing problems, I went to a graveside service. And this preacher was up there, and he was going on that this old boy had accepted Jesus in life. He didn't go to church. He liked to drink a few. He liked to do this. But you know, he's so much better off now. And I looked over at Becky and I said, that's wrong. And she says, too loud, too loud. But you know, maybe sometimes we need to just say, that ain't right. That ain't right. Revelations 4 and 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. One again. We're not supposed to judge, so keep her mouth shut. We're not supposed to judge. I heard a story about a lady that her father died, and one of the leaders in the church came up to her and says, I'm sorry your dad died and went to hell. That ain't right either to do that. We are not the judge. There's one judge. He'll take care of that. We're not the judges. Never does it sit in here for us to judge. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's all we're supposed to do. Revelations 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that heareth these words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. We don't think, we obey. How many times have we studied with someone and they say, I thought it would be okay. I think I'm okay. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the bottom line. In Luke 13, starting with verse 6, He spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We as Christians are to bear fruit. lead others to Christ, help them, study with them, do things for them. A good deed is what gains people. Go out and help. Be ministers just like Christ was. That's what we're supposed to do. One last verse in James 2 and 10. But whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, we could be 99% and still be short. Keep the whole law. Don't think, do what it says. That's what our lesson is about today.